So, Karen, would you tell us more about the ministry that you're directing?
I would love to. So Theological Horizons is the name of the ministry, and we have a website. I would certainly invite any of your listeners to get in touch with me that way. I'm happy to share our resources. But we live in the academic kind of setting. That is our mission field, is the university setting. And so we serve scholars, faculty, community members, and students, grad students, undergrads. And what we're really wanting to do is create space for conversation about faith, thought, and life. So, you know, students are in the classroom, they're learning new material, they're in college, there's all kinds of new perspectives and philosophies and points of view that they're encountering in the classroom, and then they have their own lives, they're leaving home. Many times there are new relationships and all kinds of drama that you know, adolescents, young adults would bring. And they have faith or lack of faith, or they've grown up in the church and they're not sure if they want to continue along that path. And so we're really, as a ministry, wanting to invite people in to talk about, what do you believe? What are you learning? What are you thinking? You know, how are you committing to things in your life? You know, how can we talk through these big questions about what gives your life meaning? And I think for people in the university, you know, we're all in our heads so much that Theological Horizons really wants to bring all that into people's hearts and create a space that is truly safe for conversation about these things that matter. Because I think we are afraid to talk about the big topics with each other. We're afraid of offending each other. We're afraid of being attacked, maybe. It's funny because you think of college as a place where there's this open exchange of ideas, and that's what it should be, but it's not always. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's been a real beautiful opportunity, I think, to invite people into these conversations and to teach them about the beauty and the riches and the breadth of the Christian tradition, maybe the information or background that individuals have not learned in Sunday school, or that, you know, they only know their one little tradition, but there's so much out there that we can talk about.
And I think it is so impressive that you all have developed a non-threatening approach to, as you said, helping people get great ideas, principles, concepts from the head into the heart. What have you found to be some of the greater challenges to helping people make that connection of getting it from the head to the heart?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me the challenge is, you know, asking good questions, actually. I think if you can ask good questions, it really helps people. And I'm thinking here of maybe a faculty member, let's say, who comes into the Bonhoeffer House to give a talk about public health. I'm thinking of Dr. Rick Mays, who came and gave a talk about his work in Peru in public health, looking at issues of health and infectious diseases in Peru. And I asked him, well, tell us about your own personal motivation. What got you into this work? Not only what is your work, what have you learned, what is your research, but, you know, what's your personal story? And I happen to know that he's a person of faith. So I could ask him, you know, how do you see God in this work? Is there an element in which this is a spiritual work for you, a calling? And so for students who are sitting in the room, they're able to hear a real professor from the University of Richmond, actually, talking about his work, giving us information, giving them a vision of what it can be like to be a person in academic public health, but also a person who has a passion, who has a spiritual commitment. So in putting him in front of these students, they can see what it is to talk and to think and to live this life. And then I think for them, too, they have ideas about their own careers or their own majors, maybe, and I can ask them, well, tell me more about why you're interested in studying economics. You know, what are your values? What's important to you? Like, what is your life about? It's more than just picking a major and making a lot of money.
Wow. So you help them define their purpose so that they're a lot more directed and probably, as a result, a lot more productive with their lives because they've been able to nail down something that is so significant.
And they need that direction. We have a fellows program. It's a mentoring fellows program. Our fourth-year students, seniors in the college, We pair them with an adult in the community, a Christian mentor, and they meet every month, and they just sit down, they have coffee, or they go out for dinner, or whatever they want to do, and they talk these things through. And I think as an adult in our community, we can support students by developing relationships with them. And you know, you can do that, Carl. I'm sure people, your listeners, I would encourage them to find young people, because they need help to sort through their possibilities, their options, their opportunities, and they have other 18-year-olds or 20-year-olds to talk to, but you know, they don't have experience or wisdom, and we can really serve that role, I think, of mentoring them and helping them even just hear themselves talk about it, gives them clarity and some direction.
Wow. Clarity and direction, two things that people are so much in need of. I really applaud you and your husband for engaging that. And for how long now?
We founded Theological Horizons in 1991, so it's been 26 years. It's been a long time.
A long time. Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, we're talking, you have crossed the quarter century mark with that one.
We have. Don't ask me how old I am. You can look it up if you really want to know.
Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you she's a beautiful lady. She's not just brilliant. She's beautiful, too. So,
thank you.
Karen, it's so important that we, as we're listening to the stories of, if I can just call them heroes, that we hear not only from the men, but we hear from the women as well. And so the lady you've chosen to share with us is Miss
Fannie Lou Hamer.
Fannie Lou Hamer. Tell me how you chose her. I mean, well, and ladies and gentlemen, don't get me wrong. Let me point out to you, she discusses several men and several women in the book. But, of course, we don't have so much time. And so that's right. The reason I asked her, which of these ladies? So how did you choose her?
Her name just popped out of my mouth, Carl. I didn't give it any thought at all.
Okay.
But so it must be the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But I love to talk about all these people. And, yes, the Vintage Saints and Sinners is full of, I tried to give equal time to the men and the women. But I love the story of Fannie Lou Hamer because, you know, she wasn't from Georgia. She was from Mississippi. But she was a fine Southern woman. And, you know, she is one of these people who we can look to as a person of courage who was so much like us. She was an ordinary person. She grew up in the Mississippi Delta. She was a sharecropper on a plantation. And during the American Civil Rights Movement, she was in one of these mass meetings, and she heard a call to go out and work for Jesus for civil rights. And she stood up and she volunteered. I'm sure she knew that this was a huge risk that she would take because she had so little power in her life. And by the time she got home from the mass meeting that night, the owner of the plantation was already at the house, had fired her from her job, kicked her out of her house. She was homeless. And so, you know, she made this commitment, and it wasn't just an idea that she had. It was a real full life sacrifice that she made in that moment. She felt that God was calling her in the cause of freedom, in the cause of justice, to go out and work for civil rights, to work for, you know, voting for African Americans in the South. And so she volunteered, and she said, I guess if I've had any sense, I've been a little scared, but what was the point of being scared? You know, she'd been scared since she was a little girl. So she became involved in the American Civil Rights Movement. She was part of course, what we know of as Freedom Summer in Mississippi, and she worked for voter registration. And what I love, one thing I love about Fannie Lou Hamer is that she loved to sing. Mm. And when she was with young people, these volunteers who had come down from all over the North, from all over America, they were these, you know, little white idealistic kids who wanted to do good. She was just—they had no idea what they were doing, but she would lead them in songs and teach them these choruses, and she gave them courage through her own example of her singing. And so her story is just one of sacrifice and courage and beauty and joy. And she mentored these young people and sacrificed too. But she went all the way to Washington. To the convention in Atlantic City in 1964, the National Convention of the Democratic Party, And you can see her on YouTube. You can see her on TV, sitting in front of, you know, the TV cameras, talking about, you know, the reality of the experience of her people back in Mississippi, and demanding freedom and justice for the oppressed people and for voting rights. And it's just amazing to see her say these inspiring words. And she said, I'm reading this quote, "Is this America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, where we have to sleep with our telephone off the hooks because our lives be threatened daily, because we want to live as decent human beings in America?" And so, you know, she just said that needs to be said. Yeah, yes. Amazing woman. I love her story. And she talked always about, not only about freedom and justice, but about, you know, Jesus, about the example of Christ, who's, you know, was for her the ultimate, you know, person of freedom and justice. So she's a great story.
She, ladies and gentlemen, was an overcomer. That's what Mandisa's singing about right now, Overcomer. We hope that you are being inspired by not only the song, but by what you're hearing Karen Wright Marsh share with us, even as we speak. She and I will be right back.